Welcome, 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 welcome into the Real Estate Investing Show. I'm Clayton Morris, longtime real estate investor. And on this show, our goal is to help you become a more intelligent real estate investor at any stage of your journey, whether you're new or more seasoned or more advanced, it doesn't matter. I think we can always learn along that journey. If you ever get to a point where you think, I know everything, well, look at yourself in the mirror. I think there's a lot we can learn. One of the big questions that we get on a regular basis is how do we like put together a strategy for a long-term investment perspective? You know, what is the best strategy to invest in real estate? Is there one simple answer? I mean, it's one question we hear a lot at our company is, hey, should I use my savings to buy a property outright? Or should I use financing? Should I make a down payment? What should I do? What is the best strategy for investing in real estate? With cash, financing, leverage. Now, we always encourage our investors to keep some of their cash reserves. Look, I love this idea, right? Keeping some of your powder dry. It's your money. You worked for it. What other asset class in the world can you buy using somebody else's money, other people's money? The answer is, nothing that I can think of, right? You can buy businesses on leverage. But as far as like a cash flowing asset, no, real estate's the top of the heap. Try buying gold. Try buying gold using someone else's money or other, like where you're only going to put a down payment down and the bank is going to finance the rest of your gold purchase or your stock purchase or your silver purchase or your crypto purchase. It's not going to happen. While I understand the appeal of unloading your savings on one property for quick cash flow, I'd like to encourage you in today's show to think differently and from a different perspective. Here's why. If your goal is to reach your freedom number, okay, and build long-term wealth, then you're going to need some tools to help you get there. So first, before we move on to this, let's discuss what your freedom number is. We have a free freedom number cheat sheet. It's been downloaded now, I think I can ask my team, hundreds of thousands of times. And the reason is it's because it's so powerful and it's free. It's like 3 or 4 pages long. My wife and I built it a number of years ago, and it really is the tool that changed my life. The freedom number cheat sheet, if you just go to morrisinvest.com/freedom, we'll have a link in the description below. Download it, go through it, and it'll teach you, first of all, what do your expenses look like? That'll help you then understand how much in cash flow and passive income every month do I need to have in my house for me to live financially free? And when you go through this tool, when you go on through the financial freedom cheat sheet, you're going to uncover some interesting things about your spending because we're going to ask you to get granular and to look at your family's expenses. So when you go on this journey and you get the financial freedom cheat sheet and you start to do these numbers, you're going to need some tools to help you get there with your process and building financial freedom. Once you know that, say, hey, I need 4 rental properties to live financially free. If each of them are bringing in $1,000 a month, then I need 4 of these properties that'll cover all of my family's expenses and going on vacation and my Netflix bill and my gas bill and my groceries and my rent. That's all I need to live. Holy smokes, really? Or it might be $6,000, $7,000 a month. Whatever your freedom number is, you want to be able to do it with leverage because leverage is a fantastic tool to help you get there. Real estate is one of the easiest assets to leverage using the bank's money. And successful investors understand how to use leverage to their advantage. And that's exactly why all of my mentors have done exactly that. Look at investors like Robert Kiyosaki, for instance, or Robert Schimmel, for instance. Robert Kiyosaki, the author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad, among other things, a founder of the Rich Dad Company. Robert Schimmel, who is the author of Why Is That Idiot Rich and I'm Not? He's got the Millionaire Real Estate Landlord Handbook. He's got a lot of great books, New York Times bestseller. He's a friend. I've interviewed him multiple times, both on here on the podcast and my days in television. One thing that they always use is the bank's money to buy properties, to grow their net worth, and to build wealth. Hell, Robert Kiyosaki's very first rental property, he used a credit card to buy his property in Hawaii. Yeah, he did a cash advance against his credit card. Used other people's money. So he was using the bank's money in a different way, higher interest rate, but nevertheless, a bank's money. So if you've come from a background or a mindset that all debt is bad debt, this is something that you're going to have to unpack, and you're going to have to kind of unlearn this, I think. If you come from sort of the Dave Ramsey school of, you know, all debt is bad, then we need to rethink this. There's a difference between good debt and bad debt. Bad debt is tied to liabilities like your car, your credit card purchases, or the house that you live in, and arguably student loan debt, right? Which is why I'm such a big champion of eliminating student loan debt in the United States, making college available for free for Americans like they do in other parts of the world. Like Europe, for instance, some of the best universities in the world, and they're free. You can become a lawyer in Europe, in most of the European countries, for basically peanuts, free, totally free. No student loan debt. So you start out your journey in life without this debt. Sorry, don't get me started on this. Gets me on a, I go down a rabbit hole. Good debt is the opposite. Good debt is tied to an asset that brings you monthly cash flow. Let's go back to the student loan debt for a second. Sorry. Because people will argue with me. They'll say, I got a degree. That's an asset. No, it's not. It's not an asset until it performs for you. And until you're able to know what that return on investment is it going to produce cash flow? For instance, if you took out a loan to become a doctor, right? You know, you have to figure out the ROI on that return on that investment to become a doctor. How many years of schooling will that take? What is it, like 13 years of schooling, right? 13 years of student loan debt? So that you know, okay, 13 years of schooling, then I've got to work for a hospital for then 6 years or private practice or whatever. So 6 or 7 years of working nonstop hours in order for me to break even to pay off that debt. And then after that 6 years, I'm then cash flow positive. If you understand the ROI, and then you can start to use that college degree as eventually a performing asset, but it's not a performing asset, especially if you're in debt. It's not bringing in monthly cash flow for you. It's not. Sorry. You can try to argue it. It's not going to work. So good debt is tied to an asset that brings you monthly cash flow. Ideally, you're going to want to buy an asset that you can cover the monthly payment on your mortgage. But if you're buying a smart investment, this shouldn't be too hard. Now, I'm going to share a few points that you may not have considered when it comes to the cash flow versus leverage debate. Number one, IRR, internal rate of return. Now, it's more important than just cash flow on a leveraged property. So if you have tunnel vision about getting immediate cash flow, you're like, Clayton, I hear you, but I'm only focused. I just want that cash flow, baby. I want it right now. You might be missing out on some of these other important metrics that matter when it comes to the health of your real estate portfolio. I want you to watch my full video on internal rate of return. It's IRR to get a better understanding. Internal rate of return. Yeah. I always wonder if I should be adding an extra R in there. I'm so bad with acronyms? I always get them mixed up too. Is it an initialism? Or an acronym. An acronym is something that sounds like NOAA, right? NOAA Core is an acronym, right? And an initialism, there's no name, like sound out. It'd just be IRR. So it's not actually, yeah, rabbit hole. Correct me in the comments if I'm wrong about that. But anyway, I want you to watch my full video on the IRR video to get a better understanding of what internal rate of return is and why it matters to your strategy. Number two, let's talk about positive cash flow on a leveraged property. Now, that can be used to pay down the loan faster, or you can save that cash for protection and future mortgage payoff. So even if you're one of those people who has a low tolerance for debt, I'd encourage you to look at the numbers and see how using leverage could actually work to your favor. This may allow you to pay down debt quickly, build your portfolio simultaneously, always keeping your powder dry. I mean, having that cash on hand in case of an economic downturn, or you're laid off from your job, or whatever else it is, right? To have that cash in your arsenal ready to go is way, way more powerful than I think like turning it over to have that immediate cash flow from a property. Again, using other people's money to build your portfolio. And it all comes down to numbers, guys. Look at those numbers. You know, the numbers don't lie. Number three, when your loan is eventually paid off, that's of course defined as true cash flow. So while you might be netting less cash flow throughout the life of your mortgage, eventually that loan will be paid down and you'll have more cash flow and the opportunity to expand your portfolio even further. Again, we go through the three stages of real estate investing: buy, own, cash flow. But we start out, we're buying the property. So if you're, you know, young, I'm not talking, if you're still, you know, in your 40s and 50s, that's still young, right? But you're in the buying phase. So you're probably maybe even still working. You're not really concerned necessarily about leaving your job. Maybe you want to in a few years, but you're still, you know, you're not making a major life change at the moment. So you can be acquiring these assets and almost pretending like you don't even have them. Buying them, and you're using leverage, you're using the bank's money, and all of that cash flow is coming in. It's being used to pay down those mortgages. You're using some of that cash flow, which is being reinvested into your process, into your portfolio, and growing your portfolio. You almost pretend like you don't even have it. Sort of hands off, sort of set it and forget it. Then, after a few years, those properties are now starting to be paid off. Now you own them, right? Buy, own, and then cash flow. Now you own these properties. Okay, now, holy smokes, now I own them. Now you start the cash flow phase. Now all of these properties that you bought, you almost forgot about because you used the bank's money, are now bringing in full cash flow every month, which is amazing. But then you've got another problem on your hands, because now all of that income that's coming in is now, or now all of that cash flow is now income, and it has to be reported as such to Uncle Sam. So how do you handle that? Well, of course, acquiring more real estate. Right? This is the old saying, buy until you die. So you buy real estate until you die, because that cash flow coming in as income from those tenants needs to be offset with other assets. And the ability to depreciate those additional assets offsets the income coming in. And this is how the cycle works and repeats. And then, of course, you're handing those properties down to your kids and you're structuring it in such a way where they're not paying taxes. And that's how the rich get richer, using the structures that are in place in the U.S. tax code. So what is the ultimate strategy for investing in real estate? I personally believe using other people's money. Whole books have been written on OPM. Using other people's money to acquire assets is way more powerful than trying to use up all of your cash yourself, because you can build your net worth with a bank, and no other asset class can you do that with. Again, try that with gold, try that with stocks, try that with crypto. You cannot do it. Real estate is the one way that you can truly build up your net assets on the backs of a bank and other mortgages. So I would welcome all of your comments. Drop me a comment below. If you're ready to invest in real estate, you're ready to take that plunge, you can book a call with our team. If you go to morrisinvest.com, that's our website. And right on the website, there's a big book a call button right there. Click on that. Yes, we are a little backed up right now. We have a bit of a waiting list, as Michael was mentioning here in the chat. But please book a call, at least get on that list. So when your slot opens up, we're able to get on the phone and give you a call and talk about your real estate investing goals. We build brand new construction real estate that cash flows with a tenant in place, that's fully managed with our property management team, fully done for you service. So please book a call. Again, it's morrisinvest.com, and we'll take care of the rest.